This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, cast of thousands. Thanks again to Nolan Turner from Clemson, Roddy Jones, all-around good guy and partner for Wes Durham. All right, we've been bragging about the Florida State basketball team. A big, giant game coming up this weekend against Louisville. And every time you think of Leonard's guys, you think depth, right?
Yeah,
athletic,
yeah.
Deep, going to come after you in waves.
Sure.
And our next guest is part of it. He can get you on both ends of the floor.
The other thing, too, about Devin Vassell, who joins us live from Tallahassee, is this. I said this going to break. You hit a big shot last year in the semis against Virginia out of the corner. And it looked like that was almost like you crossing a bridge. Okay, I can now go be the guy if I need to be. Because you haven't let up in this season. Am I crazy to think that one jump shot here in Charlotte at the Spectrum Center has carried you a little bit to this year?
No, sir. I feel like it gave me a lot of confidence, actually. It just showed the amount of confidence that the coaches had in me to be able to drop a play like that. And for my teammates and for Trent to be able to look for me on that pass, I mean, it just gave me a tremendous amount of confidence knowing that, you know, I can play at this level and just, you know, just gave me a boost, I would say.
Do you guys think you've been flying under the radar for like 2-3 years? I mean, we're in this league. We've had success. We've done some damage in the tournament, things like that. And yet, here come the preseason polls. Here comes the national rankings. And, hey, okay, well, there's Duke. There's Carolina. There's Virginia. Oh, by the way, now Louisville's in the mix. And what about us? Is there a what about us involved in this?
Definitely. I do feel like we have been, you know, kind of under the radar, underrated, ever since I've got here and even before then. But I just know that, you know, the way that we play, we, you know, we're going to be able to show a lot of people that we belong in, you know, the top 25. We belong to be a top 10 team. So I know that, you know, with this test against Louisville that we have on Saturday, it's going to be a big, huge game, but I know we're going to be ready and, you know, just to go and show and prove to everybody that we're a top 10 team.
Devin, what's better about this year's team than last year's?
I would just say the way that we're able to switch on defense. I think that last year, you know, we had a lot of more 7-footers. We had Chris, who's 7-4, and it's just hard for Chris to be able to switch onto a little point guard. But now, you know, sometimes we're able to put, you know, Malik at the 5 or Quan at the 5, and it's able to make us, you know, be able to switch and be able to disrupt more passes, get more steals. So I just be able to say just being able to switch really everything.
Devin, I said the other night during the Duke-Boston College game with Jordan Cornette, I envision your depth being unique in college basketball because I think of it like a hockey team. I think you guys can put a penalty kill lineup out there. You can put a power play. You need a basket. Well, you know, Coach Hamm and Stan can call a timeout, and they'll get 5 guys that can get a basket. You need to get a stop. Well, here's another dead ball. Let's run 3 guys on here. We'll shut down somebody. Do you guys think of it that way?
I do think that we have a lot of depth, like you said. We do have a lot of times where we could go big, we could go small, we could get a lineup, kind of like you said, where just if we need a stop, we could get a stop. If we need a lineup that could get a basket, we could get a basket. So it's just credit to the coaches for the way that they recruit and just the confidence that we all have in each other and making plays.
We always have a good time when you're head coach. He is Mr. Cool. It's hard to believe he's 70-something years old, Devin. I mean, what's the secret to his success being Mr. Cool down there in Tallahassee?
Man, if I knew, only if I knew. I mean, Coach Hamm is a great guy, and, you know, it's just he always brings so much energy and so much life to the program. He has so much confidence in not only us, but, you know, his coaching staff, and, you know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity that he's given all of us.
He's smooth, though, isn't he? I mean, just everything about him is smooth, man. I'm just telling you, he's great.
Exactly. You can't rattle him at all.
Well, now, are you serious? You can't rattle him at all?
You can't rattle him unless maybe we're in an intense game and, you know, a ref makes a certain call. Then you'll see, you know, the real Coach Hamm start coming out.
Well, I mean, because he comes on the floor, and the first thing I've always noticed, and I joke with him about this, he comes to the floor and the tie is always knotted up. But by the first TV timeout, the tie's already loose. I mean, see, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's not long. That whole garb deal doesn't hang very long, right?
Exactly. I feel like right before the first media timeout, it's always maybe that one play or a certain play that gets Coach Hamm, you know, from that cool demeanor to, you know, he just snaps just one time. Just one time. It's not too many times, just that one time.
I like it when it goes turtleneck on you and comes out totally Mr. Cool and Mr. Clean. That's when he looks his best, man. I'm just telling you.
Exactly.
All right, this game in Louisville, obviously the atmosphere, the environment in that joint is fantastic. It's got to get you guys juiced up too, right? I mean, you know how good this matchup's going to be from an athletic standpoint. You know, they're good. You guys are good. Then you throw that crowd on top of it. This is why you come to Florida State.
Exactly. You know, being able to play against Louisville and them being a top 10 team, it's going to be a test on, you know, the character that we have. And, you know, I mean, they're a great team and they have a great coach, but I just feel like, you know, we're going to be ready. We're going to be prepared and we're going to go out and just play the best that we can. And, you know, we'll live with the results.
Devin, is this one of those type games where, I mean, you guys know how good Jordan Worry is. You know all about Enoch and Malik Williams and some of the young guys they got. You got to get to McMahon on the perimeter or else he'll, you know, shoot threes on you. I mean, there's a comfort level about playing these games, isn't there?
Of course. I mean, I feel like, you know, earlier in the season, we played Indiana. We've played Tennessee. We've played a lot of big name teams already, which is going to help us, you know, in the game against Louisville. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, the coaches put that on our schedule to be able to help some of us and some of the newer players to get comfortable playing in big games. But I know that, you know, it's nothing like until you, you know, really get into the arena and get, you know, in that atmosphere. But I know that we'll be good.
Devin, you get more satisfaction on making a big time jumper or shutting somebody down on the defensive end? Because you can do both.
Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
I would definitely say, you know, shutting somebody down on defensive end. I just feel like it gives us so much more confidence and it gives us a boost. You know, if that one person, it's their key guy and he can't score, he's not getting the ball, just shuts down their whole offense. And then we're able to get out in transition, get dunks, get steals, you know, just, you know, really be able to disrupt them. So I definitely say on defense.
You know why he says that though, right?
Because he's a great defensive player.
Well, actually, he is a great defensive player, but he also knows that Coach Ham's watching, and if he doesn't talk about defense, then that offensive game doesn't even get a chance, right?
He knows.
Oh, yeah, Coach Ham. Coach Ham loves defense. You know that.
You guys have, and we talk about the depth, but you guys have unique skill set. I mean, you got certain guys that can do certain things. You mentioned Kamaji, who is just, you know, like a skyscraper. Literally, in almost every sense. What is it about the combination of guys? Because to me, part of the reason you guys are so successful, it's not the depth, but it's the way the depth kind of forms together, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, there's a lot of times where we'll just go small. We'll put Malik at the five, or we'll go big when we have Basha or Dom at the five. And it's just, you know, like I said, I got to give credit to the coaches, the way that, you know, the recruiter class that they had and, you know, just the people that they have here. We all were just being able to adjust and play with each other. And, you know, it's just, you know, being able to play with 10, 11 guys, you know, in some programs might be difficult. But for us, you know, we're all a brotherhood and we're all, you know, we all feed off of each other. So, I mean, I just feel, you know, credit to them and, you know, to not only the coaches, but my teammates and, you know, just being able to, you know, next man up. If one person's not playing good, we always have somebody else that's going to be playing good.
Devin, you cannot answer this question with a Florida State answer, but what has surprised you the most about the ACC so far?
I would probably just say the fact that there isn't just this one team out there that just looks like they're just dominant. I feel like in ACC this year, it's pretty wide open. I feel like, you know, anybody has an opportunity to go out there and win it, as long as you know, I'm just very surprised about that. Ever since I've been growing up, you know, you always hear the big name schools, Duke, North Carolina, everybody. But I feel like this year it's just pretty wide open.
That's interesting because that's kind of what our takeaway has been the first couple months. It doesn't look like there is. And by the way, Devin, this is not an ACC thing. It looks like a college basketball thing. I mean, look at all the different number ones, right?
Exactly. Me and Trent always talk about this all the time. We're just saying, you know, if it's 1 year to get to the national championship, it's this year. I mean, it's wide open. We've seen a lot of the teams who's been number one seeds and, you know, they've just been upset. So we just know that every game that we just got to go out and handle business. We can't look too far ahead. You know, we're focused on Louisville right now. So that's all I can say on that.
You're a sports management major. What is the most difficult course you've had at Florida State?
Now that's a great question. I'll probably say my last semester I took a sports management class called IDS, and It was pretty tough. I think I ended up getting an 80 in it, but it was not that easy of a class at all.
What was it? What was the premise of the course?
I mean, it was basically just talking a lot about sports management, you know, the different jobs, the different opportunities. It was just going, you know, deeper into sports management, which I never really thought of, you know, some of the things I never really thought of, and the jobs and all that other stuff. So it was definitely a helpful class for me, though.
All right, so you get this degree, and let's say, you know, basketball, you have your post-college basketball ambitions, I'm sure. But what does Devin Vassell want to do when you know, your playing career is over? Because you strike me as a guy being from Atlanta, going to Peachtree Ridge, and now coming to Tallahassee, playing at a high level. I think somebody like you would want basketball to be part of your career, even after your playing career is over, right?
Of course. I've always envisioned myself, you know, either being a basketball trainer, just helping younger guys be able to not only on the basketball court, but just helping them outside of basketball and outside of and for their life, and, you know, helping them be better people. So I just say a basketball trainer or also a basketball coach. That's been another one of my dreams after I've been here, just watching Coach Jones, Coach Hamilton, and Coach CY, just seeing how they, you know, interact with the players and make us feel like we're at home. We're at a home away from home. I just feel like, you know, I'd be a great coach, and so yeah, either being a coach or a personal trainer for sure.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, Devin, now that we know what you want to do. What's the one characteristic from Leonard Hamilton that you wished you will have as a coach when you
good.
Go down the road? One thing you could steal from Leonard Hamilton, what would it be as a coach?
One thing I could steal, I would probably say just having the unity that he has with the team, being able to play 10, 11 people and nobody complain about minutes. I'll just say, I don't think I've ever been around a team like that. You know, even in high school, we would play maybe 9, 10 guys, and maybe the sixth man would be upset that he's not getting enough minutes and everything. So, but that's never the case here. I would just say that, you know, Coach Hamilton just is always honest about, you know, just buying into the process and playing for each other. And, you know, it's a team game. It's about winning. So I would just say something like, you know, something about that.
That's a good answer.
That's a really good answer. The other thing I would say is if the sixth guy in high school griped about minutes, I'm not even going to ask you what happened to AAU ball.
Yeah, AAU was definitely a crazy story. Definitely a crazy story.
Guys want their run in the AAU, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They see some coaches over there on the sideline. They trying to get them minutes up.
Hey, safe travels to Louisville for the weekend contest with the Cards. And great to have you on the show. Enjoy watching you play. Congratulations on the season so far.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
You bet. Devin Vassell of Florida State. Outstanding. Fun to talk to. I tell you what.
He's got it together.
Well, and the thing about it is he is, and you know, you don't ever say he's a certain type guy for a program, but see, he kind of fits that mold at Florida State.
He's perfect.
Yeah.
Because he can score, and more importantly, he's going to play tough on the defensive end and can cause a headache.
And a developing guy.
Yep.
A guy who has gradually come along in each of his years. Last year, but we asked about the shot against Virginia. Remember now, one-point game, late in the semis, here in Uptown Charlotte. They run a side out-of-bounds play. Next thing you know, Vassell catches it in the corner, knocks down three.
Yep.
Takes Virginia out of commission in terms of going to the championship game. So, yeah, I think what he has become is really, really interesting as it relates to just the overall package of his performance coinciding with the Noles growth.
Well, he's averaging just under 12, almost 4.5 rebounds, almost 2 assists, and plays great defense.
Yeah.
Perfect, right? We're signing him up. Let's go.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Tell you what, we got quite a staff.
Oh, very lucky. Very lucky.
We got quite a staff.
Mm-hmm. We're doing well, wouldn't you think?
Well, they're doing well. We're just kind of keeping it between the ditches, I think, for the most part. I think the staff's outstanding.
Staff is very good. Staff's done excellent work. Yes, they have.
Okay.
Excellent work.
All right, Dabo Swinney, we touched base with this a little bit earlier today on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was down there checking out the Miami-Clemson basketball game,
mm-hmm.
trying to get away from the LSU work just to clear his head, just mm-hmm. watch a little basketball because he's totally into it. And he was asked to give a letter grade of the Tigers' performance in the Classic Fiesta Bowl.
And I'll say this, we'll have to play better. I gave us a B-minus in that game on our execution, and only a B-minus because of how we finished in the fourth quarter. So we'll have to play our A game, but that's the way it should be. You're going to win a game like that, you need to have to play well.
He's right about that. That B-minus will not win the national championship.
No, sir. No, sir.
Not in that environment against that team who's been scoring at will.
Right.
But I tell you what, though, if they fall behind, Wes, there will be no panic. I mean, when you're down 16-0 to a team as good as Ohio State, there was zero panic.
Yeah.
That's that championship DNA he's always talking about, and they responded to it. And but Dabo's right. A B-minus will get you beat in the next one.
We'll spend a lot of next week talking about the ball game. Wide variety of people will join us leading up to the kickoff on Monday night. The thing that you look at least early on about this, is can you tell me how the game is going to be played from a tempo slash possession count? And that's the unknown. How many possessions are in this game? Because now you get to a math equation at some point on stops and how much do stops mean as opposed to scores. And well, I think that's going to be a real big factor.
I think you know exactly how LSU wants to play.
I know how LSU wants to play. The question is, how many stops are in this game? How many times does Will Spires and LSU's guy punt?
I think, again, this is early. We're bound to change our mind by next week. But Travis Etienne had a hard time getting jump started against Ohio State because Ohio State's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I personally don't think LSU's defense is nearly as good as Ohio State's.
Yeah.
All right. You know, the easiest way to tell Joe Burrow and his frisbee catching dogs, man, you're not going to score, is to go over there and sit down and have some Gatorade and go on long, sustained drives. I think Travis Etienne and the Clemson offensive line will play a humongous role in this national championship game, extending drives.
Yeah.
You know, they put points on the board, but go eat up 5 or 6 minutes. And that also takes the other guy out of offensive rhythm. I mean, if you watch what LSU did to poor Oklahoma, they couldn't wait to get their hands on it, and they were going to go 200 miles an hour. You can't make it easy. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma made it easy. They were so poorly coached on the defensive side that it was almost embarrassing. Might be one of the reasons the Big 12 went 1-5 in bowl games. But Clemson won't do that. So I think being able to run the football will be a critical key for Clemson to win the national title if they're going to pull this thing off down in New Orleans.
Yeah. Nobody keeps plays alive like Joe Burrow.
He's been great.
Yep.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. LSU, this is a special LSU team.
Yep.
Special team. And it's almost as if the stars are in alignment. They're in New Orleans, mm-hmm. fourth time, all that great stuff. But you know what? As crazy as that crowd's going to be, not a single one of them's coming out of the stands to make a tackle. And Clemson will love – well, at least I don't think they will. But Clemson will love that role. Underdog, and everybody's there to root against them.
Yeah.
They feast off those kind of situations. But mm-hmm. being able to run the ball and play a little keep away, I think would be probably a good idea.
Yeah. No, I think possessions are going to be really, really critical. The number. Like, if you tell me it's going to be a 12 to 14 possession game.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that if I'm Dabo Swinney. I don't know that I want a big possession ball game.
LSU's the number one offense in the country. Clemson's the number one defense. You don't want to play to their strength.
But the other thing is, too, how many times have we seen this where it becomes the other way?
Well, I mean, all you got to do is go to last year's national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
How many people raise your hand if you thought Clemson was going to win by 4 touchdowns against the greatest team Alabama's ever put together? That's what I thought. I mean, you don't know how this stuff's going to play out. But LSU's been so effective with the ball in their hand. Yeah. And I think they are getting better defensively, but they're not as good defensively as Ohio State.
Yep. 844-SAY-ACCN. Troy in South Carolina with Packer and Durham. Troy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Okay.
Great show as always. So much better than the show on the other network with Dumbo the Flying Elephant. But anyway, that's not why I called. Pack, I have a stat for you that I think can enhance your gift to LeBron James. If you will take a snapshot of Ryan Day and Urban Meyer and Woody Hayes and put the caption by it, first loss ever, last loss ever, worst loss ever. And if you can work that into LeBron's gift, I think that might enhance it a little bit. And
Jordan, are you trying to get me to get punched out by 6'8" LeBron James when I hand that to him?
285 pounds, too, by the way.
This was a gift of friendship of, hey, we thought it was a touch of class what he did to Ohio State, giving out those beats. But, you know, we're just trying to say, hey, we would like to reciprocate, because there's been a bunch of whining and complaining from the Ohio State Nation about referees, and the SEC's got it out for him, and ESPN's somehow manipulating. I mean, it's the most ridiculous, convoluted nonsense I've ever heard. So we're not looking to cause a problem.
And I got a question for you guys. How often do you think Oklahoma fans curse Bob Stoops for causing Brent Venables to go away?
Oh!
That was one of those, if you could have a, can I have a mulligan on that one? Jeez, I gave this stat the other day on SiriusXM. Oklahoma is 0-4 now in the college football playoff. They have given up a grand total of 199 points in four games. I'll just add one just to make it easy math, even for Wes. That's 50 a game, Wes. You can't give up half 100 and say, hey, we're a national championship contender. You can't beat anybody of note giving up half 100 per.
Here's the other thing, too, and I'll add this, Troy. That kind of performance in the postseason keeps Oklahoma from moving into the next level.
No doubt.
I mean, that's why we can have this conversation about Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson over a course of years.
Right.
This year, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson. But you can't put Oklahoma in that group when they surrender 5-0 on average in the playoff.
I mean, it's awful. I mean, seriously. I mean, they recruit.
It's 7-on-7, Pat.
That's exactly what it is.
It's 7-on-7.
But even their concept of what they tried to do to LSU, I'm going to rest three guys, please. Joe Burrow's sitting back there eating some jambalaya, throwing it left-handed, lighting up like a Christmas tree. That was just stupid.
Throwing it left-handed.
I mean, seriously, how do you give that guy all day to throw it with those wide receivers, and that's your game plan?
I don't know.
It's not
a good idea, I can tell you that.
Now, they're lucky that the LSU didn't score 100, because they could have.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well.
Wouldn't you love to be in the room, though, with Brent Venables this week and next, just to see from a conceptual standpoint what the game plan is going to be? How do you – because nobody, for the most part, other than maybe Auburn, really kind of kept them until, and really the reason Auburn was able to do it is because their defensive line was so good and so talented, they could cause disruption with just those four guys. Clemson had those guys last year. They don't have those guys this year.
Yeah, I hope at some point before kick we get to – I'd like to sit down and talk with a coach. I'd like to get a coach to talk to me about what he would do with what LSU does. If he had the game.
I asked Gene Chizik that question the other day.
He'd be interesting to talk to right now.
Well, I mean, he knows their league.
Maybe we can get Coach Chizik on.
He's great.
Yeah.
Or you can just pull the interview and play the
question. Well, we could do that too, but wouldn't it be more fun to talk to him?
Yeah, I did, but if you want to get him
Callie,
on.
We can talk Callie. We can talk some Furman secondary.
Yeah.
Son plays he'd ball for the Paladins. Yeah.
Gene's a friend of the show.
Yeah. I like Coach a lot. Good man.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
You'll get aboard tonight in Jacksonville.
No. I won't be watching that.
Tennessee and Indiana.
No.
A couple of old football rivals.
No. I got things to do tonight.
Do you?
Yeah. That's not on my agenda.
It's not?
No.
Come on, man.
I'm just telling you. I got stuff to do.
All right. Tough New Year's Eve for the old league.
We mentioned this, that since the last time we did a show, the Virginia Tech-Kentucky game was disappointing. Right. Bud Foster's last game. Legendary defensive coordinator, has been awesome.
Yep.
Great coach, great person. And it just would have been cool to see him go out with a defensive stop for the W.
Mm-hmm.
And it just simply did not happen.
No. They could not get Lynn Bowden on the ground.
No. And you give up 331 yards rushing, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be one.
Yeah. No
He's
question.
A problem.
By the way, we were talking about this earlier. I want to pull this up to make sure I get the numbers right. What Lynn Bowden did in the last couple of ball games with rushing the football is bananas, by the way. I mean, not only did he have a huge day against Virginia Tech. To give you an example, Malcolm Perry, everybody got caught up in Malcolm Perry's last two games, the Army game and then the bowl game the other day. Malcolm Perry, 57 carries, 517 yards for an average of 9.1. Lynn Bowden's last two games, 56 carries, 517 yards, one less carry. I mean, he did it against, like, not that Army's not good, not that Kansas State's not good. Lynn Bowden did it against real football, like crazy good football.
Well, he's a talented player, but I tell you what, the antics of punching people in the face an hour and a half before game time.
What is that?
He won't last long with that nonsense.
No.
It was an embarrassment.
No, and that's not a good look for Stoops in Kentucky and things like
that. There's nothing about it.
And by the way, bowl trips should never become this.
Exactly right. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Really
so,
was.
You know, at the end of the day, it's not a good look for the Hokies. It's not a good look for Kentucky. And, you know, it's just not what anybody
needs. I mean, when you start chirping at each other at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah,
what
are we doing?
Bowl. Let's go play some football.
So, anyway, the end of the road for Bud Foster is you can't write the script. You just can't. And I say it all the time.
You could have if the defense would have made a stop. I mean, you had a chance to win the football game.
Yeah.
And you can't let the guy get past you. I mean, he balls at the 15-yard line, and, you know, not that Bowden can throw the football very well, but he threw the perfect pass. Guy was wide open, ball game. Catch you later.
Exactly.
But I hated it for Bud Foster because going out with a W would have been really sweet. That would have been nice.
Also, tough day for Florida State and our friend Odell Higgins.
Six turnovers.
How in the world, Pack?
It was ugly.
And we saw Travis quarterback, and, you know, he ran around, made a couple plays, but they kicked four field goals and scored a defensive touchdown, win the ball game.
Pick six and went for two and got it. So Arizona State wins the game without an offensive touchdown. Florida State actually did some good things in this game, but this was not one of them. The highlight you're seeing right here, here's the pick six and catch you later. But,
who is that, Drew, by the way? Who is that scoring there for Sparky? Who we got picking and pulling here? And
Even Drew, the Arizona State fan, watching it.
He lost interest.
Yeah.
He lost interest. The guy's a huge fan, ticket holder, lost interest, you know? So, Willie Hartz.
So, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of positive news to pass along in terms of wins and losses and all that stuff. But, you know, then you throw Jamie Newman in there, which we talked about a little bit, going to the portal. And, you know, I hate it for Wake Forest. This guy is a football player, and I think all of us are looking forward to watching him come back for the Deacs. But he's got his degree. He's earned the right to go wherever he wants. There's rumors that he could be going to Oregon. I have no earthly idea, but that seems to be what you hear on the street. But he's
really?
A talented player.
Okay.
Very talented player. So I hate to see that.
I do too. I don't know that – you know what I'm worried about is that now it takes – and was telling this with Roddy Jones. It used to be two guys for 4 years, and now all of a sudden it looks like it's getting ready to be three for four. I mean, it looks like you got to have – if you're Dave Clawson or you're a guy who's got a talented quarterback and you redshirt a guy, then you got to be understanding that on the back end that guy may bail. Or if you redshirt, I mean, everybody wants their exclusive windows to be the quarterback.
But as a graduate transfer, Wes, you know, I say this all the time, whether you play in the next level regardless of the sport, the object is to get your degree. And that's exactly what Jamie Newman did. And he appreciated his great times in Winston-Salem. And I played for Dave Clawson, so you wish him the very best.
Yeah. It's crazy, though, when you think about it. Just doesn't kind of make sense, does it? I mean, the way it all fits. But
well, it makes sense if you've gotten your degree and you say, hey, listen, I want to go ahead and maybe take my skills elsewhere. I mean, I don't have a problem with the guy who has his degree.
Right.
I have a bigger issue with the person that says, hey, I'm a five-star, I'm a four-star, I'm this, that, I'm that. Come out of high school and all of a sudden you got to go compete and you expect it to be handed to you.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what? I'm out of here. I have a bigger issue with that guy as opposed to the person that's put in the work to get their degree. And now they've got a year of eligibility left and they're a player. He's a player.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good. Wish him the best and off you go. But from a selfish standpoint, I'd love to see him one more year in the ACC.
I guess Sam Hartman's the incumbent. Yeah, we'll see how it figures in behind him. Boy, Wake Forest now, they've gotten some really good news. Sage Surratt's coming back and Boogie Basham's coming back. I mean, they're going to have some players, you know, next year to be a factor in the Atlantic behind Clemson. I think Wake and Louisville are the two teams, at least preliminarily.
Not in that order.
Louisville, Wake?
For me.
Okay. Behind Clemson. Where do you put Florida State today?
I don't know. And let's see what Mike Norvell does. I mean, nobody knows.
Speaking of the transfer portal, the quarterback he had at Memphis can go without consequence.
I expect Florida State to get better.
Quick?
I think it's going to take some time on that offensive line. That offensive line still needs work. When you start talking about, hey, are we going to be able to compete to win the league? Mm-hmm. Well, to win the league, they got to win their division. You know who's in the division. Their personnel is not good enough up front right now to win the division.
Yeah, who's in the division is playing next Monday night.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's but the good news, though, for Florida State, in due time, if you do your job,
right,
you can become that team again. I have faith that that can happen. But I don't know if it's going to happen overnight. You can't go multiple years, Wes, where your offensive line recruiting and lack of development has got you into a point now that even though you've got really good skill people around,
right,
but you can't block anybody up front. And when you play really, really good teams, now it really becomes obvious. So I think in due time, Florida State, if they do the right job, they can get right back to the conversation. I don't know if it'll happen in 1 year, though.
Hmm.
My opinion.
Yeah. Gonna be interesting, isn't it? Coming up in our final segment here, we're going to I tell you what, before we do that, I know you said there are good seats still available. What do you expect to see out of Boston College this afternoon?
Well, Roddy Jones had the great answer. I have no earthly idea. You're a football analyst.
Well,
no earthly idea.
Cincinnati.
Here's one. He
is right about Cincinnati, one thing. Cincinnati's looking for their fourth 11-win season.
They're good. Luke Fickell's team is well-coached.
He's good.
Physical. He's a really good coach.
Yeah.
BC, but you know, BC's not going to back off a tough guy competition, right?
No.
Because Cincinnati's want to try to punch you in the face, and BC plays that way. I want to see them compete, Wes, because you know Jeff Hafley now that he's no longer tied into the Buckeyes. Hey, it's all hands on deck, and you know he is going to eyeball everything he sees in terms of who's getting after it, who's competing, who wants to play. So I suspect that you'll see an emotional effort from BC. Whether or not they're good enough to beat a really good Cincinnati team, I don't know.
All right, couple of guys to keep an eye on today in that ball game. Left tackle Tyler Vrabel, outstanding freshman season, freshman All-America, really good player. Alec Lindstrom is the center at Boston College. I think those two guys are pieces for what Jeff Hafley's first team can be. I was looking here a moment ago. I don't see any staff announcements for him yet.
Well, he just lost Saturday.
Well, I know. I mean, just in terms of, I haven't seen any coach. There are a lot of other guys that have been kind of, you know, moved in and moved out a little bit with him.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, other coaches have taken jobs, and Jeff Scott was naming coaches. He's still coaching.
I have a feeling that there was a lot of work done with Ohio State's defense to try to figure out how to stop Clemson. That's what I think. But he's now free to do whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he'll be there today.
You know, sure he will.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. By the way, Cincinnati has a chance to win 11 for the fourth time. This is a program and they've done it since 2008. 2008, 2009, 2018. They can win 11 in back-to-back years. Sneaky program.
Well, it's a sneaky conference. The American Athletic Conference has got a handful of teams when you start talking about Memphis and Cincinnati, and obviously we know about UCF, and Navy's been good. SMU had a terrific year. I mean, they've been pretty deep from that perspective.
Yeah, we told you about David Bailey, by the way. He needs only 184 yards to reach 1,000 this year as a backup to A.J. Dillon. Pretty solid.
Packer and Durham.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
I went to see my mom,
Miss Jean
for New Year's.
Magic bread.
Well, now, if you missed any of the early portions of the show, my mom sent Pack some homemade sugar cake.
Excellent.
That go good for you?
10 on a 10 scale.
10
Ms.
on
Jean.
A 10, Miss Jean.
Thank you.
So I brought a couple things back from my dad's office, and one was this woolen gem piece of the floor from Woolen Gem. Kind of cool. 1938 to 1966. This is where Carolina basketball played, including the great 57 team. They played right there at Woolen Gym. Beyond, I'm sorry, I'm screwing this up. So there you go. There's the Woolen Gym floor. We had that. Then we had, right here. Oh, hang on. We had Carmichael Auditorium floor, right? Okay, so there's Carmichael Auditorium piece of the floor, all certified and everything, because it wouldn't be certified if it didn't have the little gold tab, right, Pac?
And I'm just glad both pieces of wood survived the show, because normally Fuller is chewing on it by now.
All right, so over the years, and Billy, I guess, is like, does Billy keep stuff?
Not really.
Not really? My dad acquired a bunch of pictures because, and eventually it got to a point where they had these $2 frames in these pictures. And so yesterday, some of the pictures ended up being hung actually in the garage, which was hilarious.
Why not? Look at us.
Yeah, there you go. So yesterday as I was getting ready to leave, I saw this picture on the wall and I thought, I'm going to take this picture and show Packer this picture.
Now, does Miss Jean know that you swiped this?
Yeah, yeah, she's not, she knows. Okay. She knows. I kind of am curator, and now that I've got a reason to bring this stuff, she's kind of excited and hope that I'll be able to take more. Some of the stuff is just pointless.
Sounds like Jay Billis's wife.
Exactly. All right, so we have a picture here in the early years of the Atlantic Coast Conference. The football coaches used to, and you know this, the football coaches under the invitation of Hugh Morton at Grandfather Mountain used to go to an ACC outing at Grandfather Mountain. In fact, Harris Prevost, who now runs the Grandfather Mountain Foundations, invited us to come up in May to be part of their Sunday night program.
What's the date?
It's in early May, like the Sunday after the Derby.
Oh!
I told him, it's not going to work this year.
Because he wants to get us a private plane.
I've got graduation at Tallahassee.
We're going to go to the Derby.
So the football coaches in the early years of the ACC, remember the league founded in 1953, used to gather at Grandfather Mountain. And Mr. Morton would host. And it was a nice event, and everybody could get in. I remember this was before cell phones, and the media and the coaches used to get along. And Bob Quincy was a great writer here in Charlotte, and Smith Barrier in Greensboro.
Simpler times.
Simpler times. So the coaches would gather around and enjoy each other's company, have a cocktail maybe. So they took a picture, and they took one every year. These are the eight football coaches in the Atlantic Coast Conference in either 1967 or 1968. I don't know which, because all eight guys coached those two seasons in the ACC. Now, let's identify, shall we?
The real handsome one up in the upper left-hand corner, that'd be Coach Frank Hart.
All right, top right corner. Hands folded in front is Robert Ward, who coached 2 years at the University of Maryland. He went 0-9 in 1967 and 2-8 in 1968.
This was the last time he was seen.
He was an All-America football player, by the way, at the University of Maryland. To his right, your left in the picture, is George Blackburn, who was the head football coach at Virginia, 1965 to 1970.
He looks like he's ready to get to the bar. Like, let's hear him take a shot here. I've got my cocktail ordered, and I don't have time for this.
George went 28-33. His best season was 1968 at 7-3. I'm beginning to think that George is pretty happy to be there, so this must be going into the 68 season. In the middle of the back row is Earl Edwards, a legend at NC State. He went 77-88-8 as the head coach of the Wolfpack.
Yeah, that's the reason Lou Holtz came in there and took NC State to prominence.
Because Earl Edwards built it.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Sort of.
Next to Earl Edwards is Bill Tate, who grew up in Illinois, was an outstanding player at the University of Illinois, then came to Wake Forest. And went 17-32-1.
But he had a 6 handicap, as you can tell with his Arnold Palmer sweater.
And a really good-looking mock under there, right? Yep. Top left corner.
Hey, now get it right, Durham. All them boys you just mentioned, I whipped all them boys. We had to fire every one of them.
Black, but over there is white meat.
Yeah, all them boys up there, that boy from Maryland, shoot. Beat him so bad, didn't even invite him back next year.
Frank Howard.
Frank Howard. And let me tell you, I'm the best dressed and best looking one of all of them.
Can we get Coach Howard again on that photo? We're going with the plaid shirt and the paisley tie. You know why?
Because it matches. Looks damn good on me there, Durham.
Frank Howard went 165, 118, and 2 from 1940 to 1969.
Killed him.
All right.
All them boys sitting down in front of me, they couldn't beat me either.
Right in front of Coach Howard, ladies and gentlemen, in the bottom left corner is William G. Bill Dooley.
How about that?
Outstanding college football player.
Fine runner.
Fine Mike running back Voigt right there. Mike Voigt, James Boom Boom Bettison Woody. Coach Dooley went 69-53-2 and took North Carolina to 6 bowl games, by the way. In the middle of the front row is Tom Hopp. Coach Duke, 66-70, went 22-28-1.
Beat him like a drum.
And then next to Tom Harp is not Hunter Renfro.
Nope.
Nope. It looks.
That's that Dietzel boy. Won one championship in 1969. Them Gamecocks ain't won nothing since.
Paul Dietzel went 42-53-1. And yes, the last championship South Carolina won. He was the coach.
Felt so bad for him. We said, hey, just give him one. Then tell him to get out of the league. We don't want their type.
What Frank Howard said.
This is turned out to be everything I thought it would be and more. This is exactly why we didn't do this in the first segment today, by the way.
You're lucky I didn't call Danny Ford. Come in here, we whipped all of them.
Good Lord. What are we doing? Oh, my heavens. So, anyway, little trip down memory lane.
I love that.
How about the cardigan sweaters?
It's great.
Cardigan sweaters. You think there's a cocktail coming up?
Well, the coach from Virginia's got one in his hand. He's just hiding it behind the guy from Maryland. Didn't win but 3 games in his life.
Robert Ward, he won 2.
2.
2 and 17.
There you go.
And threw a bagel up there in 67.
That's it.
Robert Ward looks way too happy, so this has to be 1967.
What do you think his buyout was, Wes? $20?
I don't know.
They reached in their pocket and pulled out a
– I don't know.
Everybody chip in $5, get the Maryland coach out of here.
It's January 2nd. I can't do math this quick.
Oh, that's a good point.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.